Imagine Moses' job. He has to take nearly 1 million unemployed slaves. They're out of work. They have no homes. They're in the midst of the gigantic recession of all time. And his responsibility is to tell them, hey, everybody, we need, according to Bible scholars, about $10 million to build the tabernacle. So let's all be excited and let's get involved.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Today's message is entitled Road Construction Ahead. Road Construction Ahead. And we're going to learn about some of the construction that took place in the Word of God as we look forward as a church to our construction, as we ask God to work in our hearts as well. Exodus 35. Let's read this morning verses 4 and 5 for our text. We have some teaching, some preaching, and hopefully some good decisions to make as we study together. Exodus 35, 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your work, your kingdom work. We ask that you would help us to get a biblical understanding and principles that we might live by, that we might construct lives and a church pleasing and honoring to you. I pray that you would speak to every heart this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I don't know about you, but when I see signs that say shoulder work ahead or road construction ahead, it normally means there's going to be a slowdown to my schedule. Sometimes that brings a little apprehension into my heart. Last Sunday, for example, we had the service at 11. We were done with the service. I guess it was about 12:30 or so. I got on Avenue J. I was heading down towards 30th Street and getting ready to have lunch. And all of a sudden, the signs were there. The equipment was there. There were all these Baptists in my way. And all I wanted was a good Mexican lunch. You know what I'm saying? And we were stuck in traffic, and boy, they had the construction kind of slowing everything down. And it's always a hassle when something's under construction. It's normally very nice when it's done. You're normally glad that things are a little smoother and the road is smoother, and you love the finished product, but the construction sometimes on the journey of life can be a little bit frustrating. It reminds me of a sign I saw not long ago. I thought it really described the whole situation very well. Prepare to be annoyed. How many of you say, I'd like to put that sign on my brother's wall. I'd like to put that sign next to my house. Sometimes we have annoyances that come into our life, and construction can be a cause of that. But you know, when we come to the Bible, we do see several opportunities and several places in the Scripture where construction was taking place, where special offerings were being given to facilitate the building of God's kingdom. We see this with the tabernacle, and we're going to study that this morning in Exodus 35. We see this with the temple. We see this with the refurbishing of the temple under Joash. In the New Testament, we see in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, offerings were taken for the needs at Jerusalem. And throughout the Bible, for those that are looking and wanting to be a part of God's work, there are patterns given so that we can learn how to have a part in not just enjoying the smooth road, but actually in the construction effort, in making a difference. And I have noticed in my life, and as we have for more than 20 years been involved in building on this campus and making room for the growing ministry, I have noticed that God has not only raised up buildings, but He has more than that raised up some strong Christians whose faith has been challenged, who have responded. And folks like the Hannahs, from whom you've heard, and others this month, we have seen God work in people's hearts. And so what excites me as a pastor is not just the walls that get erected and the buildings that are constructed, but it is truly the lives of faith that develop through this type of a program in our church. And this morning, we're going to see a similar program in the life of Moses and in the lives of the children of Israel. And we're going to learn a little bit about the construction of the tabernacle. Three principles specifically I hope that you'll learn with me this morning. Notice, first of all, as we come to Exodus 35, the presentation of a need that is made. There is a need that is very obvious to Moses. It is very well presented to him by God. And I want you to see this presentation in verse 4 of Exodus 35. "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded." Now in the Old Testament, God revealed directly to His prophets His will. In the New Testament, He did the same with the apostles. Today we have the apostles and prophets' revelation through the Holy Spirit given to us and combined in these 66 books, which we know as the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Moses was the recipient of that revelation, and he comes to the people with a presentation. But I want you to notice it wasn't his presentation. It had been commanded by the Lord. This project that he was sharing with them was given to him directly from the Lord. And one thing I want you to remember as we study the Word of God today is that God's commandments are always accompanied with God's enablements. In other words, God never asks you or me to do something that He's not going to help us accomplish by His power. And so He gives a commandment to the children of Israel. And notice, if you would, He commanded the construction of the tabernacle. God said to Moses, "Moses, I want a place where My glory can reside, a focal point for worship in the lives of the children of Israel, and I want you to command the people to have a part in this." Now, I don't have time to give the whole story. Most of you remember it. But it was back in about 1445 BC that the children of Israel were released from Egypt. And you remember the story? They were slaves. They were brickmakers. I have seen in the British Museum actual mud bricks with straw stamped by Ramses II from this very era, excavated by archaeologists and brought to the British Museum. I have seen with my own eyes the bricks that these slaves, these Jewish slaves, made with their own hands. Well, you know the story. God raised up a man named Moses. He went to Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go." And boy, he made his pronouncement. And he said, "I want you to let my people go." And of course, Pharaoh was hardened in his heart. And so the plagues came. But finally in 1445, God delivered His children. And how many of you heard in Sunday school the story of the parting of the Red Sea and how the children of Israel went through on dry ground and the soldiers of Pharaoh went in and they were utterly destroyed? Well, it was a few months after that time, we read in the book of Exodus, that Moses was called up to a mount called Mount Sinai. And it was there that God began to tell Moses many things about how He wanted His people to live. And he received there not only the Ten Commandments, but he received there the instructions concerning the tabernacle. And so it was that God had given His commandment to this wonderful man by the name of Moses. He had determined how the work would be done, and he's now sharing that with the people. He had commanded the work to be done. It was commanded by the Lord. Now let's just fast forward for a minute, and let's think about the New Testament era in which we live. We are not a part of the congregation called Israel. We are now a part of the local New Testament church. How does God do His work in the era in which we live? And I want you to see this in your notes. I give you four steps in New Testament church building because I believe that Jesus Christ has commissioned all of us to be a part of doing His kingdom work now in this era. I believe God has something for us to do, something for us to be a part of right now. And so notice the four steps, if you would, in your notes. Notice, first of all, He sends all of us as Christians to evangelize in the world. Now, we know the ACLU doesn't want us taking the name of Christ in many places. We know that the Ten Commandments have been pulled off the walls of many public places. We know that people are trying to limit evangelism with various ordinances and so forth. But the fact remains, Jesus Christ Himself, by the way, He is the captain of our host. Amen. He is our Lord and Commander-in-Chief, if you will. He said in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And so we're under the command of the Lord to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He sends us out. But then we read in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be added."
And so it's not my job to save souls or even to build the church. It's my job to be a faithful witness. But the Spirit of God touches hearts and the Lord adds to the church. Now, that's a great thing when God's doing that. And we ought to thank God this morning that we're in a church where people are being added and where God is working in that way. I just finished a few minutes ago teaching our new members class. And every 90 days we have a new members class. And we had this morning, I think, about 80 new members in the class. And I was teaching about the pastor and the church and the Sunday school class and the deacons and how the church operates. And just had a great time of fellowship, had a question and answer time. But what a blessing to be there with folks who have just recently been added to the Lancaster Baptist Church. The Lord adds to the church, and everyone that He adds is a blessing. And we're thankful for that. And then not only does He add to the church, but the Lord builds the church. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And then again, the Lord says that we as church members and as Christians are to occupy until He comes. He involves His people. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, He called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy until I come." If you've studied that passage in Luke, the word occupy means to carry on your business, to settle down and be serious with your life. So even though we believe in the imminent return of Jesus, we also believe that we're to be doing the work for the Lord, occupying, doing it in businesslike fashion, serious about what we do, because we're a part of God's work. And so we are involved in occupying until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Now, even as Moses was commanded to build the tabernacle, we're commanded to have part in settling down and doing the Lord's work in the day in which we live. And I got to tell you something, folks. It's a privilege to be a part of the Lord's work, seeing people saved and added to the church. Hey, it's exciting to be a police officer, a doctor, a nurse, to build an airplane, whatever you do with your life. Thank God for those talents and abilities. But how many of you are glad we're a part of something here that will last for eternity whenever a soul is touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's the principle here. He's commanded us to have a part. Now then, the presentation of the need is commanded by the Lord. Notice, secondly, then, it's committed to the people. It is committed to the people. Now, notice what it says in verse 5 of Exodus 35. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord." Now, notice this commitment. God says, "Moses, I want you to tell the folks that I want to build a tabernacle, and I want you to ask them to help with this. I want you to bring the need to them." Notice a few things about the people's opportunity. Number one, every member had an opportunity. Every member had an opportunity. Exodus 35:4, "Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel." Everyone was included. Now, sometimes as a pastor, I think about Moses and I think, wow, imagine Moses' job. He has to take nearly 1 million unemployed slaves. They're out of work. They have no homes. They're in the midst of the gigantic recession of all time. And his responsibility is to tell them, "Hey, everybody, we need, according to Bible scholars, about $10 million to build the tabernacle. So let's all be excited and let's get involved." How many of you would agree with me? That is a slight leadership challenge for old brother Moses right there, okay? Not the easiest job in the whole world. But God was truly giving to the children of Israel an opportunity, now that they had been delivered from Egypt, to stop and to say thank you to the Lord. How many of you are thankful that you have been delivered from sin and Satan? And every time we give to the Lord, our time, our talent, our treasure, we're saying, "Lord, thank you for saving my soul." Every member was given that opportunity. Secondly, every member had ability. Every member had ability. Now, in our new members class a minute ago, one of our new members said to me, "Pastor, how much do I give next week?" And I don't get that question asked a lot. He's a brand new Christian. It's a good question. I said, "Just give as much as you can. Do what God tells you to do." I didn't really know exactly what to tell him. I know this: God enables everybody differently for these types of projects. Okay? And certainly for many of us, this will be the largest offering we've ever given, or one of the largest and so forth. But what that is for individuals, at Lancaster Baptist, we've never said everybody give this amount or this amount. We do not believe in equal gifts. We believe in equal sacrifice, everybody doing their part. But in this particular instance, everyone had an ability. Now, someone today might say, well, I don't know how they could have had an ability. They were just slaves, you said. They just left Egypt. Well, I want you to look in your notes there very quickly at Exodus 12, 35. And I want you to see something that happened to them right before they left Egypt. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, there is a Bible principle that with God's calling comes God's enabling. And God, as they were leaving Egypt, caused the Egyptians to give them jewelry and gold and to place things in their pockets. And we call it the spoiling of the Egyptians, because they were able, by the grace of God, to receive in order that later on they might be able to give. And you know, every one of us, from time to time, the Lord, not only through our paychecks, not only through those things, but God will allow us to spoil the Egyptians. And from this old world, somehow, He blesses us in order that we might be a blessing. And so God had given everybody an opportunity, and God gave everybody an ability. And I believe if every willing-hearted Christian prays, we'll see that God has made it possible for us to do something for His work. Notice thirdly, though, every member had a choice to make. Every member had a choice to make. Now, notice that in verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of, what do those next two words say? A what? Willing heart. Whosoever is of a willing heart. Now, you talk about free will. Here we see this was not the tithe. This was an offering to be given from a willing heart. I love what Charles Spurgeon said concerning faith and honoring the Lord. He said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe Him at all. Now, these people had a willing heart, and they were receiving this commitment from Moses with a willing heart. They heard the word, and then they had to make a choice. They heard what Moses said. Now they had to make a choice with that from which they had spoiled the Egyptians. Now, I just want to say this very quickly. I thank God that for 23, almost 24 years, I've had the privilege of pastoring people who have willing hearts. People who would say, you know what, I want to do my best for the Lord. And it looks like we're going to build some more parking spots, or we need an auditorium, or we need an educational building. And people who've had a willing heart. I think back to our very first building program. We now call it the North Building. And boy, was that an education for me. And I mean, there were so many stories. I don't have time to tell you all the stories. But we purchased the property. We began that building program. And the bank said, now look, we'll lend you some money for this project, but you're going to have to use the contractor that we recommend. And that was okay, except the contractor that they recommended went bankrupt about 3 months into the project. So now we had a contractor that couldn't do the work. So now the superintendent got mad that he wasn't getting paid. So he took our approved set of drawings, something like this, stamped by the city, to Arizona. So now I had no contractor, no approved set of plans. And that's when the El Nino season started. And as El Nino started and the rain started down, they had to get the police to go get the plans. And as they went to get the plans, I started studying more about something called the conditional use permit. The architect told us to build the building was $2.3 million. But what he didn't explain to me was those conditions in that conditional use permit. Conditional use permit with a city in California means that you have permission to use the building if you meet certain conditions. What were our conditions, you ask, for the North Building? Well, that would include widening all four corners of Lancaster Boulevard and 40th Street East. That would include the asphalt. That would include the curb, sidewalk, and gutter all the way around the building. That would include 16 light poles that we would buy, install, and give back to the city. The long story short, for our conditions, $1 million. So, in our first building program, a few months into it, we were without a general contractor, we were without plans, we were $1 million over budget, praise the Lord. You call it a baptism by fire. I became the chairman of the building committee. We got some guys together. I remember some of the meetings we had with the men, and I just learned right away, you know what, if we're going to finish this building, I'm just going to keep bringing things to the folks and letting them know where we're at. And in this meeting, we brought a need to the folks, and we had a bit of our loan. We had raised up some money, but we were to the end of those funds, and now we're trying to finish the building. And I just held up to the bin. I said, fellas, I got right here the electrical contractor. We got to get the electricity. It's $61,000. That night, Brother Doug Fisher preached for us, and we just passed a plate and had nearly all of it and had a few hands raised to finish it up. That particular night, it wasn't our main big offering of the year. It was just a little extra one. $61,000 was given to finish that north building. I'm simply saying, I thank God that when there have been needs like that, there have been willing hearts to say, you know what? Let's get it done. Let's do the work that God has called us to do. You know, I've learned that in the Christian life, we will either respond to the revelation of the Word of God or human reasoning. And thank God that no matter what the circumstance in our economy, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so these people, the Bible tells us in verse number 5, they gave willingly. We see that word 5 times. The Bible says in verse number 5, let him bring it. Listen, whatever you do next week, it's not something that's to be drug out. It's something we bring willingly unto the Lord. It was an offering unto the Lord. Notice what it says concerning the offering in Philippians 4:18. As Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Would you say that last phrase with me? Well-pleasing to God. Now get the connection. In Exodus 35:5, it says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. And in Philippians chapter 4, well-pleasing to God. Mark this down. We don't give to the church. We give to the Lord through His church. And what we do next week is a commitment by God's people to the Lord. And so Moses had to present a need to the people. And notice, secondly, the participation of the people. How were they going to respond? How did they respond to Moses' message from the Lord? Well, come to verse 20, if you would, in our text this morning. And notice it says in verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Now, the people heard this need to build the tabernacle. This awesome place where sacrifice would be made on the Day of Atonement, this place that was a type and picture of Jesus Christ. But how did they respond? Well, notice, first of all, they were stirred. The Bible says in verse 21, whose heart stirred him up. They caught this vision. They were stirred up for this work. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. These are stirred up Christians. These were stirred up people in the congregation of Israel. I love what Amy Carmichael said many years ago. She said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Okay? These people loved the Lord, and they were thankful for what He had done in their life. They were stirred up. I was thinking this past week about so many stories of faith in our church. Bob and Joyce Lane, just this past few months ago, back in November, we had the funeral for Brother Bob. And then it was as if his wife said, oh no, you're not going without me. And a few weeks later, she went home to be with the Lord too. Some of the sweetest members of our church, Lene's here this morning, their daughter-in-law. And Bob and Joyce have been such a blessing over the years in our church. And I remember right after they started coming, their grandkids had started riding the bus. And Lene and her husband and family and Bob and Joyce came in. And Bob came up to me one day and he said, Pastor, he said, those buses are touching families. And it's touched my family. He said, how much would it cost to get a couple more of those buses? And I did some research and gave him some numbers. He came back that next Sunday night. He gave me a check and said, go buy some more of those buses. I remember over the years as we've had building programs, how Brother Bob and Joyce participated and gave sacrificially. You look back on the walls in the lobby. The pew you're sitting on right now may have been purchased by Bob and Joyce Lane. Somebody purchased the pew you're sitting on right now. I just thank the Lord for people who are allowing the Holy Spirit to stir them up. And I know that as they're with the Lord in heaven, they're thankful that they've had a part in that work. I believe it was Jim Elliot who said, "A man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose." And so we see the children of Israel were stirred up in their heart. Secondly, they were willing. They were willing. The Bible says in verse 21, "Everyone whose spirit made willing." Now here we see a heart that said, "You know what? I want to have part in this." There was a willingness to be a part. 2 Corinthians speaks of it in the New Testament context. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that he hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now folks, last week we signed the contract with the contractor to build the streets, the bus stop, to put in the driveway, two lanes in, two lanes out, to do all of the site work. I've learned now after 20 years, you got to get that site work done. The city's requiring it before we put the 1,000 new seats in this auditorium. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to be able to put gas in these tractors and get the work going, it's going to involve some willing-hearted people saying, "You know what? I want to be a part of the work. I want to see this happen to the glory of God." And as we give, we want to give with that willing attitude. I've learned in 24 years as pastor that some people give to the Lord like they're giving to the IRS. "Oh man, let me calculate this. Mr. Accountant, tell me." I had our taxes done this week with our accountant, and we were going through all the different things. And one of the comments I made to him, I said, "John, I wish I..." He said, "Wow." He said, "You had an increase in your giving." I said, "I wish I could have given more." I want my accountant to know, and he knows, the largest thing in our budget is the work of the Lord. I want him to know we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And I don't mind him figuring out how to help and give advice, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to give to the Lord grudgingly. And some people give to the Lord like they're having to give the IRS. Now, some people give to the Lord like they're putting an engagement ring on their sweetheart's finger. I remember when our boys were engaged. Boy, I tell you what, they were pumped about that. I remember taking Larry down to the Oceanside. His future in-laws came down, and our family was there. And Larry and Ashley, Ashley didn't know she was about to have the proposal there that day. She just thought we were getting together with the families. And we got on a bluff overlooking the ocean, and Larry had this plan all made up. And I'll tell you what, he had saved and saved. He got a beautiful ring for his fiancée. I mean, it was burning a hole in his pocket. He was going to give it to her down the road, and then he kept moving the time up and getting them to come sooner. And he just couldn't wait to give it to her. And he had this plan. He said, "Now, Dad, we'll all be looking over the ocean. Then I'll just say to you, Dad, could I just take a little walk down there with Ashley?" And he said, "Dad, when I say that, you say yes." Okay. And so there comes a point, you know, you try. But so we're all standing there. "Dad, could I take Ashley for a walk?" And I said, "Yes." I knew my part, you know, sort of like her mother and I do. You know, you get these certain lines in life, you know. And so there they went. They went down. We saw them walking. And we saw him as he went down towards the end of the beach there. And he got down on one knee and he pulled out that ring. Oh, man. He was so excited to put that ring on her finger. Now, I don't think as he was putting that ring on her finger, he was saying, "You know, this is kind of an amazing American cultural thing. I mean, thousands of dollars. I mean, I already told her I loved her." I mean, really, honestly, given this, there's a lot, I could invest this money right here. I don't think in his mind he thought, "You know, maybe I could just negotiate this with her a little bit and get something a little cheaper." And I don't think that was, no, his thought was if he could have got a bigger diamond, he would have. Why? Because he loved her. Hey, by the way, what's your attitude going to be when you come walking in here next Sunday morning? Is the attitude going to be, "You know what, Lord, you have been so good to me. I love you so much. I can't wait to show you in this fashion how I love you." That's the spirit. It was a willing spirit. Notice, thirdly, it was a generous spirit. The Bible says in verse 21, they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And it says in verse 22, they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Listen, they wanted to have a part. And I'll tell you what, the Lord's been stirring my heart up. 20 years in a row, we've had offerings, it seems like this. And this year, especially, we've been praying. I've been setting aside some things and getting ready. And this week, the Lord began to stir me up again in a great way. I'm excited about what God's going to do next Sunday morning, about our announcement next Sunday night. I don't know, there have been several things just happened in my life this week. I was making a visit with Dr. Rasmussen the other day, and as we were out making some visits, we stopped by a family that are members of our church, and they've not been able to be here really the last few years. They're shut in some and unable to come. They watch every service on the live stream, and they're watching, no doubt, this morning. And we read the scriptures and had a time of prayer, and it was just such a blessing. And as we walked to the door, the man of the house, he walked us to the door, and he said, "Pastor, just a minute." He said, "I just want to tell you something." He said, "I want to tell you, I love my church." He said, "I just love watching the preaching on the computer." He said, I just am so thankful for that book you sent me in the mail." And he began to have tears come down his cheeks. He said, "It's a blessing to be a part of this church family." He said, "By the way, Pastor," he said, "I want you to take this, and I'll give this to the ushers after church." He said, "Here's our offering for May 14th. He says, "Here's our 52-week commitment." It seemed like the Lord said to me, "You know, they may not even sit in those new pews, but they don't want to miss the blessing. They want to have a part in it. They were stirred up. They were willing. They were generous." That, my friend, is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that would touch someone's heart. And they understand what the Bible says in Matthew 6:19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourselves treasures where in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, we see the presentation of a need made by Moses. We see the participation of the people. They got involved willingly. And then notice finally the product of willing hearts. Now, when a godly presentation is made and there's a godly response made by willing-hearted people, what happens in their midst? And I want you to notice this in chapter 36, and for the sake of time, I want you to read with me. Notice, follow as I read, beginning in verse 1. "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put understanding and wisdom, to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary." All right? God raises up some general contractors, Bezalel and Aholiab Construction. They had the equipment. They could get the pad ready. They knew how to work the equipment. And notice then, verse 2, Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and all the wise-hearted men. Verse 3, they received of Moses the offering which the children of the Lord had brought. So Moses presented the need to the people. The people brought the offering. Moses went to the contractor and said, "All right, here's the gold, here's the silver. Get going, get the construction going, get the tractors running." It was the principle that we see here. Notice verse 3, "for the work of the sanctuary. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning." Verse 5, "the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." And if you read in verse 6, Moses at one point had to even say, "Look, folks, hold up on the offering. Looks like we got more than enough." How many of you would say that is a miracle by itself? That he had to say, "Hold up on the offering," is an amazing thought. Well, the product of these willing-hearted people, notice a few things. First, the workers were supplied. Those workers were supplied. The tabernacle was an elaborate tent construction. It had an outer court. It had much furniture and so forth. It was made of shittim wood, which was a very fine, expensive wood, much of which was overlaid in gold. Many of the different pieces and facets for the curtain were made of silver and of very fine material. And here we see that they were now being provided for because of willing-hearted people. I think about some of the things that we're working on this year. I think of the driveway to come in and out of the campus, two lanes in and two lanes out, several hundred feet, a very large part of the project. I think about the street improvements. I have the drawings here and have a little portion of that up on the wall there. By the way, it's been about 7 or 8 months having these drawings designed, approved through the engineers, now stamped and approved by the city. All the work's been done properly. All the street improvements, 660 feet of footage. We're going to widen the street for Lancaster. We're going to put the curb and sidewalk in, put the street lights in, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we'll give it back to the city, and the newspaper will never tell that story. But we're going to do it with a good attitude. We're going to build all those improvements, give it back. That's a part of the development cost in 2010 in which we live. And then we're going to go forward from there and work on the expansion of this building and put a foyer out on the west side, put some nurseries and classrooms, add this balcony. We'll come around over the next few years, adding nearly 1,000 seats. Now, all of that is a need for this ministry. Not a want, but a need. I hope you'll be here tonight. I have a very special message to preach. I want you to see what God is doing and hear the rattling of hundreds of chairs being set up. We're not doing all of these things just on a whim. These are meeting needs. And you know what the Bible says in Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm excited to see God provide for you and for me and for this church as we honor Him next week. The work was supplied, and then notice the work was supported. The Bible tells us that they came and they gave abundantly to the work of the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then thirdly, the worship was started. And this is really the most exciting thing. Turn over to chapter 40 very quickly, and you'll read these words. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And then down in verse 33, so Moses finished the work. Now, if you're in Exodus 40:34, read this with me. Ready, begin. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Would you read that one more time? Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the... Now, hear my heart on this. More than the driveways or the expanded auditorium, what I look forward to more than any of it is the glory of the Lord in the church. And if we can see some things accomplished that bring glory to God, and if we can have services that bring honor and glory to God, then my friend, that is what really counts. That is what excites my soul. A mystical cloud of power and honor symbolizing the presence of God came down over that tabernacle, the pillar by night, the cloud by day, the presence of the glory of God. And some of you know the significance of that tabernacle. You know that on the Day of Atonement, Aaron went into a place inside the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. And as he went into the place, it was so holy, they tied a rope to his ankle. For if he had died in there, no other man was to go in with him, and they would pull him out. And there in the Holy of Holies, there's a place known as the Ark of the Covenant. And atop the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And on the Day of Atonement, Aaron would go into the tabernacle and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And he would plead for the forgiveness of the sins of all of the people. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is our tabernacle and He is our mercy seat. And that Jesus Christ shed His blood for our sin. And my friend, thank God today, we don't have to depend on the prayers of Aaron or on the prayers of a priest, but we can go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ who shed His blood for our sin. And we can say, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive my sin, and to be my Savior. And if you've already made that decision, you have something to thank the Lord for today, something to be grateful for today. And if you've never made that decision, I encourage you to receive Christ as your Savior and to recognize, no, it's not about a building. It's about the building of His kingdom, of which you can become a part when you are born again through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's some road construction coming up on this campus and around 40th Street East, but the whole purpose of it is to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone's not comfortable with that, they probably need to have a heart tune-up, because I get excited about people hearing the gospel of Christ and being saved. You know what I believe? We ought to make it as easy as we possibly can for unsaved folks to come into this place and hear the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. You know why? Jesus is coming soon. And I want to close with this in Revelation 21. And notice in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, catch this phrase, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. The tabernacle of God in Revelation 21 is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is our tabernacle, and He will come down, and He will literally rule and reign. And what a great promise that is. My friend, the great truth about any local New Testament Bible preaching church is that we are here preparing others for eternity, preparing ourselves for the day when we will see the tabernacle coming down, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if you're not ready for that day, I want to encourage you, open your heart today. Don't worry about giving in the offering next week. If you're without Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you not to give. I want to encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have received Christ as Savior, it ought to make sense to want to give your best to Jesus and to say, Lord, thank you. I willingly thank you from a stirred up heart for all that you have done for me.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.